Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of In the Trenches here on the Post-Gazette Sports Now Podcast Network and YouTube channel. I'm Noah Hiles. As always, joining me on the show are your two co-hosts, Jake Cradle and Gavin Bartholomew, two key members of the Pitt football offense. Fellas, bye week came and went this past week. Normally, things are all quiet during the bye week. It's relaxing. And while you guys got a little bit of downtime, I myself... I was pretty busy. Some notable news came out of the bye week. Obviously, the most important position in the sport. There was a change made there. Two-year offense, Phil Dracovic, no longer the starter. Christian Veyer has taken over in those starting duties. We didn't get to react to it last week. We recorded after I reported it, but we, you know, it just didn't feel right for you guys to talk about it until your head coach announced it, and that's fair. But it was kind of awkward last week when we were going to record. We were like, eh, we should probably hang on here. So now you do have a chance to talk about it. You know, your teammates have talked about it. Your coach talked about it. Just want to get your reaction to, you know, how things unfolded and what that has been like for you guys. Because it hadn't happened recently. You know, Kenny never got benched. He didn't get benched last year. So this is something relatively new that neither of you guys have really experienced. What was that like for both of you?
You know, it was definitely interesting. It's not, like you said, we're kind of new to it, so we didn't really know what to expect. I mean, we didn't know if it was going to happen or not. And, you know, it happened where, you know, Phil kind of took a mature approach to it and, you know, let us know where he was. And, you know, he's a guy that he's bought all the way into this program. He's, you know, he's just not here to be a quarterback. He's here to be a great teammate, to help serve the team in any way he can. If it's, you know, special teams or going back to quarterback, you know, wherever he may land up. So, I mean, I can't say enough about him, you know, being a great teammate and, you know, what he's, you know, done for us, I guess, you know, but I think it was one of those times where, you know, we're in a rocky start. You know, we're 1-4, and I think the coaches, you know, thought we might need a spark, and, you know, they went with a different hand. And with Christian, I think, you know, Christian's been ready. He's been a guy behind the scenes that just staying ready. You know, he's always trying to learn. I mean, I remember in the summer, he was a guy that he would come to me like, hey, let's meet for like an hour. We'd end up meeting for 2.5 hours just talking protections and stuff. Like, if I see this, like, you came with me overriding this, he would say. And I'm like, yeah, like, that's a smart guy. It's a guy that's, you know, wise beyond his age. And I'm extremely excited to see, you know, if he can make some plays for us and, you know, see the success he brings for the next, you know, 7 weeks, 7-8 weeks, however long.
You know, I thought they did a good job handling it, especially Phil. You know, like Jake said, he did it in a real mature way. I feel like he definitely could have went another route that, you know, could have, you know, kind of sunk the team a little bit, but, you know, he did it in a good way and, you know, kind of bought the guys in and, you know, he welcomed Christian. And so did everyone else. You know, it's nothing new for us, right? I mean, we've been working with him since, what was it, spring, fall, fall camp. So, you know, all the guys are used to him. No matter who our quarterback is, nothing changes. You know, whether it's Christian, Nate, Phil, whoever it is, it's going to be the same. So, yeah, we're getting ready and it'll be a fun week.
So, guys, just looking, like Pat said it on Monday, you know, this move was made in hopes to give your offense a spark. What would allow Christian to give that spark? What, tell us a little, because we've only seen him play one final quarter against Wofford and in the second half against North Carolina. And I think it'd be fair to assume that he's capable of more than what he showed in the second half against the Tar Heels. So what is it about his game that makes him a dynamic quarterback that, you know, had him in the Elite 11 passing camp when he was in high school, that had him as a four-star recruit, that had him do well at Penn State in his limited time there, and that had him in a spot where Pitt wanted to go get him in the portal last year?
Yeah, definitely. I think I truly, like, I haven't, you know, actually watched him play a lot, you know, in terms of like in-game action, so I can't really speak on that, but I can just tell you from practice, the way he commands a huddle, the respect he demands, and, you know, just his urgency to want to, you know, get the play in and, you know, execute it and stuff like that. His film study, I mean, he's a guy that loves football. So that's exciting. And, you know, I think that can help us, you know, be more explosive on offense. I mean, I don't think we've been nearly as explosive in, you know, past years like we were. So I think, you know, hopefully that term of a spark, I think I, you know, get more first downs, get yards, you know, get big plays. I mean, big plays is something I think we're missing this year. I think we've had a couple big play touchdowns, maybe just one in the last game against Virginia Tech. So I think that's the big thing. I mean, it's gonna be fun to watch because I think he's a great athlete, and I think if you watch him throw a ball, I mean, I don't know much about quarterback play, but that thing just flies off his hands. So I'm sure Gavin can speak more on that, but I'm just excited to see him go out there and play and see what he can bring to our offense.
Yeah, no, I mean, like Jake said, he's a heck of an athlete. He's shown all of us, you know, he's just got to show everyone else. And, you know, I think he will this Saturday. You know, he's the type of guy that likes to throw the ball. You know, he can run the ball if need be, but, you know, he likes to sit in the pocket and air it out. And he's accurate with his throws. And like Jake said, you could definitely spin it.
All right. So aside from the quarterback change, I mean, there looked to be some other stuff that went down in the bye week. I noticed a couple of other changes on the depth chart. Looks like Kenny Johnson has an or listed next to his name with Dejon Reynolds. So he's going to probably get a little bit more playing time. I saw some changes on the defensive end. You guys don't have to speak on those specific topics, but I mean, what were your big takeaways from the bye week? Like, was the focus on Louisville? Was the focus on yourselves? And do you guys feel like you got better, or was it more just kind of like a rest up, get healthy, and get ready to have a great week of practice this current week?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think a bye week is it's one of those things where it's like you can use it for many things. And I think we use it for everything in terms of getting healthy, in terms of looking at Louisville, in terms of just looking at ourselves in the mirror. And that's the last one is the biggest one, is like seeing where we went, not necessarily wrong, but seeing where we didn't execute well. Like I think we talked about last podcast, like what schemes, concepts, and stuff did we not execute the previous five games? And where can we improve? What can we add? What can we, you know, make our bread and butter, you know, per se. So I think that's kind of like where we like took this, is just like, and then honestly, other than that, I think it was just the fundamentals and techniques is just drilling those down. A lot of individual time. We had team periods, but not as many as we would in a normal work week. So it was just good to get out there and, you know, kind of work on the everyday things that are, you know, going to help us succeed on Saturday. And then to your, you know, point about the depth chart, I think it's great to see, you know, guys competing. That's the biggest thing. It's like when you have guys competing in a program, that makes it better. You know, everyone's, you know, kind of like not satisfied where they're at. You know, everyone wants to move up and like up, you know, no one wants to move down. But I mean, that just shows the talent we have on this team. I mean, like I said, we're 1-4, but that's not a reflection of the talent we have. You know, we have extremely, you know, talented guys, and we just as players have to execute, and then that'll show come that day.
Yeah, no, the bye week is definitely, I feel like, a reality check. You know, looking at ourselves where we are, we're 1-4. Obviously not where we want to be. So going into this week, I feel like it was definitely like a get your body ready for, you know, the stretch we have coming up to go on a nice run we're going to have. But also attack for Louisville. You know, we were game planning. So that way this week's a lot smoother and everyone knows what they're doing. But as far as like the depth charts, I honestly didn't even know about it, but I mean, it's good to see everyone competing. It makes the team better and it makes everyone better. So,
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Before we do, I want to say that this video and every other video on the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel is brought to you by the Great Yinzer Tailgate, which is bringing the best of the Berg to South Point on November 4th, showcasing Pittsburgh's rich culture, iconic sports history, and vibrant community spirit. The Great Yinzer Tailgate will immerse you in the unique blend of traditions that make Pittsburgh legendary. Visit www.thegreatyinzertailgate.com for details. We'll see Yinz there. You guys won't be there because you have a game against Florida State that day. But maybe some other people will watch the game at the Great Yinzer Tailgate. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we will be joined by Pitt captain Matt Gonsalves, who we haven't heard from in a while because of his injury. We're going to get a little bit more information on that when we return here on In the Trenches with Jake Cradle and Gavin Bartholomew.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Here on In the Trenches with Jake Cradle and Gavin Bartholomew. Joining the show here is Matt Gonsalves. Not a first-time guest. Is a first-time guest to the public. He was in the beta episode, which didn't reach the airwaves for one reason or another, but we got that all cleared up, so it's good to have him back on, and I'll let Jake and Gavin take over the interview here soon. But before we do, Jake, who's this interview brought to us by?
In the Huddle is brought to you by the one place in Pittsburgh where you can caffeinate and create. Brushes and Beans Cafe in Marysville. At Brushes and Beans Cafe, you can enjoy a delicious latte, cappuccino, cold brew, and much more while relaxing and creating your very own masterpiece. For more information, visit our website at www.brushesandbeanscafe.com or give them a call at 724-610-3782.
All right, guys, I'll let you take it away.
Matt, great to have you back, brother.
Thanks for having me, guys. What's going on?
Of course, man.
What's up, brother?
So let me ask you, because I've been seeing you in the training room, how's the recovery coming, and you know, what's your mindset on it, and how you attacking this this injury to come back stronger, faster, bigger than you were this past season?
I mean, I'm just taking it day by day right now. I mean, there's not much I can do. You know, I'm trying to support the team whatever way I can, whether that's in the locker room or, you know, in the film room or anything like that. So, you know, I've been trying to just take it day by day, week by week, and eventually, you know, I'll be able to work out. And, you know, I'm just doing physical therapy right now, getting my leg strong. So, you know, it's been a big process for me, not something I'm used to, but, you know, eventually things will clear up, and, you know, I just want to be there for the team as much as I can.
100%, man. Rewind it back to camp when you got named captain for the team. What was that like for your senior year? What was that like?
I mean, it was unbelievable experience. I mean, still now, it shocks me, and it's unfortunate that, you know, I've had this injury and I can't lead the way I want to do it. But to have my name etched in Pitt football history forever, I mean, it means the world to me. And, you know, I'm not from Pittsburgh, you know, I'm from Long Island, but, you know, to be able to adapt to a Yinzer, as you guys say, and, you know, become a Pittsburgh man and, you know, lead this team, and, you know, just the pride and the passion and the care that I had for this university means the world to me. So,
yeah, man, you earned it for sure.
Yes, sir. Now, tell the listeners, what is your injury, and what's usually the timeline, the time frame of getting back and in fully healthy running and stuff like that?
Well, what I did was I tore my plantar plate in my toe. And it happened on the West Virginia turf, and, you know, all that turf all around, you know, the NFL and college, you know, it's been injuring people. So, you know, it's a, It's a big issue. It's a really, I think, bad, you know, grade of turf toe. And, you know, I tore a couple ligaments in my toe, which eventually the doctor said around like 3 to 4 months, maybe 4 to 5 months, you know, is a recovery time. You know, right now I'm feeling good. I'm trying to, you know, speed it up and make it quicker than that. But, yeah, that's the extent of the injury. I know I haven't been too public about it. And, you know, it's not, you know, the worst thing in the world. But unfortunately, it's just enough to knock me out for the year. And, you know, it's sad. But, you know, I'll bounce back and I'll be back and before you know it.
Absolutely. 100%. So what are you doing with all your time off? I mean, you're in a hotel right now. Like, what's that like?
I mean, you know, it's difficult. I mean, you know, I mean, having time off is nice and stuff, but not being able to walk and using a scooter, that's obviously, you know, the biggest deal. But yeah, I guess, you know, coming home and, you know, playing some video games and relaxing because there's not much I can do at this point. Yeah. You know, I guess that's what I've been doing. But besides that, I've been, you know, in the facility as much as I can. And, you know, that's really it. So.
Yeah, so there's, I mean, there's the biggest question here, I feel like, that everyone wants to know is what are you going to do next year? Like, do you have that made up yet? Are you, like, deciding to come back for your sixth year or, you know, pursue the NFL where, you know, coming into the season, you're a high draft pick, you know? So, like, I think you still are because I know you're going to come bounce back from this injury and, you know, come test day this year. If you were to leave, you would, you know, test great. But where's your head in that? And when do you think everyone will know what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a tough decision for me as of right now. I really don't know because I don't know what I want to do. You know, I was so focused on playing on football. I didn't really even think about, you know, the next level. And now it's, you know, becoming a reality. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I haven't played, you know, 12 games this year. I've only played 3. You know, it just it's going to be a decision I'm going to have to make down the road. You know, either decision of whether coming back or leaving to go for the NFL is a great decision in my mind. But I'm just taking it day by day. And right now I'm just trying to get fully healthy. Once I have, you know, a clear mindset of when I'm going to be back walking and running is probably when I'll have more of a decision. You know, it's something that I think about every day. And, you know, it's not a bad decision. You know, it's obviously stressful. But either way, I think things will work out for me and I'll bounce back and, you know, things will be good. So,
exactly. Great question.
It'll all work out, man.
Yeah, so, on that note, Matt, I will say I do a PFF draft every now and then. I know I told you the one I did when I saw you at the facility the other day, you went 91st overall to the Bucks. Your draft stock improved in the last one. You went 89th, and I believe you were taken by the 49ers. So not a bad landing spot. I would recommend, you know, if you knew you were going to the San Francisco 49ers, I would recommend going to the NFL.
Take it.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's a tough decision, though, you know. And, you know, as great as that sounds, I do love this university. And yeah. I feel like going out – sometimes I feel like going out on a note where, you know, we're on a 2-losing streak and – playing only 2 games kind of, you know, it hurts me inside. But at the same time, you know, if the next level is there, then, you know, I could have the opportunity to take that as well. So it's
absolutely
2 good decisions. Yeah.
All yep. right.
100%.
So, Matt, the last time you were on, we played a game called All-American or HBO Character. So what we're going to do it a little different this time. Do you have something to write with?
I don't.
If you don't, it's okay. We'll let Jake and Gavin reveal their paper, and you can announce it verbally. All right? Because, you know, you never know who's right and who's wrong in these things. What I'm going to do is, each time, I am going to announce 2 names. One of these people is an HBO character from an HBO TV series. The other is a former Pitt football All-American football player. Okay? In order to get points, you need to get both answers correctly. There's 5 rounds. Final Jeopardy, the same way it always goes. Let me make the scoreboard here on my notepad. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, shoot. Okay. Well, nonetheless. All right. You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
All right. Round 1. The 2 names are Ari Gold and Herb Stein. One of these people is an HBO character. The other is a former Pitt football All-American. Again, the names are... You need to write, like, Who? So just write like option guy number one is this, guy number two is this. So you write, but so like just put like a number one bullet point like HBO or Pitt, and then vice versa. So, or actually, we'll just do this to keep it more simple. You just tell me which one of these guys played for Pitt. Is that easier?
Fair enough. Yeah.
All right. So Ari Gold or Herb Stein. Which one of these two is a former Pitt All-American?
You want me to go? I mean,
Matt, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'd say Herb Stein is former All-American. I don't know, though.
All right, Gavin? Yeah, right.
That's who I had.
That's who I had, too.
That's correct. Herb Stein is a former All-American. Go. 1920 is the answer there. All right. Number two, we have Warren Heller or Omar Little. Which one of those two is a former Pitt All-American? Warren Heller or Omar Little? All right. All right, 3, 2, 1, reveal your answer. Or Matt, go ahead. You can answer first.
Warren Heller, Pitt football.
Warren Heller, Pitt football American. Guys?
I'm going Heller. Omar.
You're going Omar, Jake?
Yeah.
Matt? Or excuse me, Gavin?
I was the one that said, same one.
Gavin and Matt are correct. Omar Little is from the show The Wire. Warren Heller was an All-American at Pitt in 1932.
Okay, Warren.
Dang.
All right, round three. We're going to go with which one of these guys was a former Pitt All-American? Izzy Weinstock or Fred Funkhauser?
Jeez, I don't know. Gotta do my research.
Again. Fred Funkhauser or Izzy Weinstock? Which
Izzy
one?
To the Izzy.
Different Izzy. All right. 3, 2, 1. Matt, your answer?
I got the first one. Izzy.
Izzy Weinstock?
Yeah. Fred.
Said Fred? Matt is correct.
Yeah.
It is Izzy to the Izzy Weinstock was an All-American at Pitt in 1934. Freddie Funkhauser, I believe, was played by Vince Vaughn, yes, in Curb Your Enthusiasm. The stepbrother of Marty Funkhauser, one of my favorite characters of all time. All right. Number four. We have Skip Guler or Chris Moltisanti? Skip Guler or Chris Moltisanti here. I saw Matt's eyes light up. I think he knows this one. You Jake and Gavin, not so much maybe. We'll go with Jake. You don't have to show the paper. Jake, who do you think?
All right, Chris.
You think Chris Moltisanti?
Yeah.
All right.
I got Gavin? Chris too. I got Chris.
Matt, what show is Chris Moltisanti from?
The Sopranos. It's Skip.
That's a perfect – Matt, you're 4 for 4, right?
I know, yeah.
Skip's on the wheel.
You better wager it all, Matt.
Matt's got 40. Jake's got 20.
You're banned from the show.
Or Gavin's got 20.
You guys
Jake's
are
got
letting
10.
Me win. Ain't no way you guys
are going to. We've already had one cheating scandal on this show. I don't think we need another.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
All right. So, the final one. Guys – Jake, how much are you gambling? All 10 of your
everything.
Points?
Let's go.
All right, Gavin.
Yeah, all of it.
Matt, how much are you betting?
I don't know. I guess like 2 or 3.
You're betting 3 points of your 40. Okay. All right, Matt's betting 3 points, so he's guaranteed to win. Unless Gavin, you have 40 points to gamble with.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll do
How much?
20.
All right, he's gambling 20. All right. All right, your options are Roman Roy or Julius Dawkins. Which one is a former Pitt All-American? Which one is an HBO character? Mm. Roman Roy or Julius Dawkins? Everyone have their answer?
Yep.
We'll start with Jake, who is in last place with 10 points.
I'm going Roman.
Roman Roy.
Yeah.
Okay. Gavin?
I'm going Dawkins.
Okay.
I'm going Dawkins.
Matt is the winner with 60 Ooh. Points. Gavin finishes with 40. Jake finishes with zero. Roman Roy is from the hit show Succession. Another great show. I highly recommend watching it. Julius Dawkins was an All-American for Pitt in 1981.
I'm all right with second.
Yeah, not bad. Hey, you beat Jake for the first time legitimately this week, Gavin.
It's progress. It's progress.
All right, guys. Hey, Matt, anything final you want to say before we let you go here?
I appreciate you guys having me, and I appreciate all the fans for having my back, and, you know, hell to Pitt as always.
Awesome, awesome. All right, Matt. Well, thank appreciate you very you, brother. Much for your time. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we will wrap things up with our final segment here on In the Trenches with Jake Cradle and Gavin Bartholomew. Back here on In the Trenches with Jake Cradle and Gavin Bartholomew, we have one final segment. But before we get to it, Gavin, who's this segment brought to us by?
This segment is sponsored by Rendine Consulting, helping company staff integrate and optimize their technology systems. Call 412-965-5933 for your technology needs.
All right. So we typically start this segment by reading headlines. However, I thought we would use it for something a little better this time. Today, we're recording this Wednesday evening. The talk of Pitt Twitter involved a blue vase. For context, when you walk into the Pitt building right now, the Pitt's football facility, right in front of the staircase, which is right next to the front doors, sits a podium with this little blue vase. And I feel like I've seen blue vases around the building before, but I've never seen it in this specific case. And I was walking out. I saw someone. I couldn't even tell you who it was. I'll own it. I just saw someone in the building. I was like, what's the significance of this? And they told me. And I just took a picture of it. I thought it was just a typical football guy thing. You hear about the Raiders burying the film back in the day, or teams that have blown up a football, or whatever the case is. I just thought this was another simple motivational tactic that was thought up in a week, and that was the end of it. And I was wrong. I wasn't the only one to say, you know, point this out, but I put it on social media. I was wrong with what I said, and it blew up and kind of became like a national story today. And it felt bad as someone who's paid to report accurate information. I think, and you guys would both agree, I typically get things right when I report them. But I wasn't right here. I messed up, and I'm owning that. And I figure there are no better people to explain what this blue vase actually means than the men to my left and right on the screen here. So I'll let Jake start because he's been around longer than you, Gavin. But what does this blue vase actually mean? What's its significance?
Yeah, no, it's something that we've been kind of throughout my past 6 years and the years, before me that Coach Energy's been here. It's like, it's based off like a video, which is I think it's called the Go Getter, and it's just pretty much a story about a guy trying to pass the blue vase test, which is hey, he has to go get this blue vase, return it to his boss or the guy that needs it, and he's going to do whatever it takes to get it done. And that's kind of like our message, this week. I mean, every day is just go get it done. Go do what you have to do to get a win. And that's where, it's mentality. It's 1-0 mentality. And, that blue vase just reminds you, hey, like, whatever you need to do, forget about everything else. Go get it done and come back with a win, Saturday night. So, I mean, it's a great great story. I think there might be a video on it if you want to look it up, or if the listeners or fans want to look it up. It's something, I think it's just a good little bit to kind of just just whatever you do in life, do it to the best of your ability, find a damn way and get it done.
We put it in the lobby for we talked about it, and we did it previously the 1 year, and then we brought it back. And it's just really, you know, you come in the building each day and like you literally throw, like you go like this and you throw your thoughts in the vase and you go upstairs and eat breakfast and get ready for practice. And it's just something to help us get mentally locked in and prepared for practice and also the week and leading up to the game.
Now, and Coach Narduzzi spoke about this on his radio show Wednesday night. He kind of talked about how, correct me if I'm wrong, the vase was with you guys in El Paso last year. This is something you guys watch this video before every first game of the season, and there are multiple blue vases all over the facility. So that's where I kind of recognized it in a way. I was like, I feel like I've seen that before. But this is a pretty significant thing to the program. It's not just some cheap thing that was thought up of out of nowhere one day.
Right. It means much more. It means, you know, coming together, finding a way. You know, we're in a tough, you know, tough spot. You know, we got ourselves kind of in a hole, and it's just, you know, how are we going to dig ourselves out of this hole and, you know, kind of just at the end of the day, find a way. You know, what's the guy, like, what are you going to do? And what's the guy your left or right you're going to do to come out with a win? And that's kind of the day. It's just, hey, when we walk in the facility, it's all football. It's, you know, hey, whatever you have going on outside this facility, leave it outside. Don't bring it inside. Just, you know, come in with a mentality that, hey, we're going to, it's football, and that's all we care about right now. And for the, you know, 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours we get there, however long you decide to stay at the facility, that's what your focus is. You're focused on Louisville and what you individually are going to do to help us win.
All right. Well, again, so to everyone who made a big thing out of it, I own it. I was misinformed. I take reports serious on, you know, quarterback changes or position changes or anything else. Didn't know I needed to take the vase as seriously, but I messed up, and I'm glad that Jake and Gavin could come here and set the record straight, and that won't happen again. So I tell all the people that were upset with me or other people who said what was said on Twitter, my bad. All right, we'll move forward now. No more vase talk. I hope I never have to talk about a vase again. we'll move on now to say something nice. Guys, say something nice about Louisville.
Man, I'll tell you, Louisville's, they flash on tape. You know, their defense is, I'm sure everyone watched the Notre Dame game last week, and, you know, their defensive tackles to their defensive ends really, you know, are explosive, make splash plays for their defense. I mean, the linebackers just fly around. You know, they see the gap or a hole, they're taking it. You know, so it's gonna be a great challenge. You know, they're 6-0 for a reason. They're very talented, well coached. I mean, it's a great test for us. And I think you know, we have the squad, we have the talent in the facility to really go out there and make a statement on Saturday. You know, we got, I think they're number 14 in the country, so it's a perfect opportunity for us to show who we truly are. You know. And get this ship, you know, on the right track again.
Yeah, like Jake said, I mean, they're nationally ranked. You know, this is a big game. Obviously, they're a good team. Like you said, they're well coached. You know, up front, they got a lot of guys that make plays. They got some big dudes. They're strong. They move quick. They get off blocks. In the backfield, their linebackers, you know, like you said, they're good tacklers. They fly around. They fill holes. And their DBs, I feel like they make, like, fairly well open field tackles. They don't miss much. You know, and they pursue to the ball. So it'll be a fun game Saturday.
All right, guys. Third down, we always go with Jake and Gavin podcast, practice player of the week. Who is your practice player of the week for each of you?
You know, I'm going to go with Christian. You know, this is his first start. I mean, I guess it's the obvious one. I mean, like I said, he's been kind of in the background, just, you know, really staying ready, you know. He's been studying each week, you know, taking it as if he was a starter. So I think this week with him, you know, being the named starter, as we all know, I think, you know, he's had a great week of practice. I think he's prepared. I think he's going to really, you know, come out and hopefully, you know, be explosive and get us in the end zone, you know, 4 or 5 times and, you know, have a great victory on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I mean, Jake stole mine. I was going to say Christian. But, yeah, no, he's had a great week of practice stepping in. basically, like, he was already the starter. I mean, he knew everything, just like any other quarterback should. But, I mean, he's doing a great job with all the receivers, getting the timings down with the running backs, the linemen. You know, he knows what everyone wants and needs. He gets the team, and he's going to lead us to victory on Saturday. So let's do it.
All right. And to wrap up the show, we have our keys to victory in five words or less. Guys, how will your Pitt Panthers upset Louisville?
No turnovers and be explosive.
Protect the quarterback.
All right. Guys, any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
I'm all good.
I don't know. Just excited. I think it's a great opportunity for us Pitt Panthers, you know, come Saturday. And I'm excited to get this the season back on track.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you to everyone who tuned in. As always, hit that subscribe button if you haven't already, and keep tuning in to the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network for all of your Pittsburgh sports coverage here by the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Take care.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you enjoyed the video, please like it and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out our Apple Podcast channel for more podcast content. Click below for a special deal of 99 cents for a 3-month subscription to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.